Movies 2018.
Ready?
Hang on.
Ready?
Ready, 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 let's go. Bam, bam,
bam, bam. What is that? Is that a game? Keish knows.
I don't know. All right, I'm ready.
All right, lights, camera, action. Welcome to the month of movies for
February.
Is it? Yeah, February. Yeah,
February 2018.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason.
And I've made year two of the scariest movies of all time. I'm trying to watch my second list of scariest movies of all time.
And I'm watching 3D movies.
And then we'll talk about those and then whatever other movies we saw during this month. Now, I screwed up. Oh, God, what is this garbage? Fuck you.
Is it still recording?
Hide. Yeah, it's still, I think, yeah. Sorry. God damn it. Fucking Windows, you piece of shit. I'm sorry. I'll edit that out. What other movies we watched during the, I screwed, oh, Jesus. What was I saying?
I don't know.
Maybe I'll have to leave it in so they don't get confused. Anyways, I screwed up because I didn't watch hardly any movies on my list at all.
Well, that's what you were saying.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I screwed up.
Now we call
them, shit.
So I've only seen one movie off my list this month.
I saw two.
Great. You're way ahead of me.
Well, because I have to see one in 1.6 something movies a month.
I have to watch about approximately four a month.
Because there's...
I picked 52.
So I have 19.
Actually, technically...
So 19 movies in 12 months.
Technically, I picked 53 because when my first year I did The Scariest, I missed one of them.
Oh.
So I added that onto the 52. So I still have to see about one a week.
So the one you watched one this month?
Yep.
I watched it.
Yeah, you did. You sure did. So I think every movie... Oh, nope. Okay, never mind. I lied. Half my movies you watched. So anyways.
So the first movie I watched.
Was with me.
Yeah. Was Dave Made a Maze.
Dave Made a Maze. I saw. Can't get away from that
seems,
fucking
computer. That seems like a fake movie title. Dave Made a Maze.
Also, it feels like we watched it seven
months
ago. A long
time
ago.
Like all of these felt like I watched it so long ago.
Cat, are you okay? Jesus Christ.
Yes. He doesn't like being on his back.
Keesh, you helping?
Say something.
Good job, buddy.
Hope that picked up.
It sure did. Anyways, the first movie we watched was Dave Made a Maze. I remember seeing a trailer for this a year or so ago. It looked really interesting, and it showed up on Netflix.
No, it was on Hulu.
Showed up on Hulu. We watched it on Hulu. But it's a sort of artsy movie where this guy Dave, his girlfriend goes away for a few months on vacation for something.
I didn't make any notes this month.
And she goes away on vacation for a while, and then when she comes back,
there's a bunch of cardboard boxes in the middle of the dining room.
Yeah, right in the middle of the room. And then she's like, "Where are you, Dave?" He's like, "I'm in the maze. I'm lost." And she's like, "This, it's probably 10 feet by 5 feet." And she's like, "What do you mean you're lost?" And he's like, "You had to come in. Don't come inside." And then she's like, "This is weird." But then eventually she invites a bunch of friends over to say, "Look how weird this is." But then they decide to get curious, and they go inside the maze,
and it's like the TARDIS.
It's like the TARDIS, but where they go inside this cardboard box, and suddenly there's just, it's like a labyrinth.
It's in gigantic.
There.
It's like the movie Labyrinth, out of cardboard.
But then the rest of the movie is like them trying to find Dave, and they find Dave, and then they try to find their way out of it, mm-hmm. out of the maze.
But in order to get out of the maze, they have to find the center.
Yeah, they have to stop.
But they have to build it first.
Because much like our labyrinth, there's a minotaur in there killing people, and I had to give them props for how amazing some of the cardboard things? Just the cardboard things and
everything was built out of cardboard.
And the effects. Like when a person's head got cut off and there's just glitter and yarn and shit everywhere. Yeah. It looked so awesome.
Streamers.
It looked awesome for a movie. Some of the actors and actresses were pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it didn't blow me away as a movie.
Right.
It looked like
Like, the best thing about it was the look.
Yeah, it looked awesome. And, I don't know what else to say.
That's it. thanks for listening, everybody. All
right, next month we'll talk about
The cardboard, everything built out of cardboard is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed on how intricate you can get with complex machines, just cardboard.
And then there's even one part where, like, they had something and then extended, like, a nesting cup situation type thing where they extended something. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was because we watched this, like, it feels like 7 months ago.
Yeah.
But I gave it a 6.
I gave it a 7.
Okay. I thought it looked really cool, but... And it's actually a pretty short movie. It was like only like 70, 80 minutes.
Yeah.
80 minutes, sort of thing.
It's close to an hour and a half.
Yeah. But it was fun. I gave it an 6. 6.
Yeah, I gave it a 7. The next movie I watched, Netflix, The Cloverfield Paradox.
Yeah. That was this month. Oh, God.
Yeah. It was because it premiered right after the Super Bowl. So then I came home and watched it. After I get done with work.
What are you eating, cat?
I don't know, but he's chewing on it slowly.
Okay.
It's gone fine. Now. Okay, so this is the quote-unquote third Cloverfield movie. I say quote-unquote because each one is like its own thing.
Well, it's still a Cloverfield movie. It's not, right. It's not in order, right. Or, it's not, or a sequel.
Yeah, it's not really a sequel. It's a movie that... is in the vein of Cloverfield.
It's in the Cloverfield universe.
So, the premise of this, most of this movie takes place in space. And they send a crew into space because all the resources on Earth are depleting.
Yeah.
So they're running out of energy sources. So they go into space and build a collider of sorts to create new energy. So then they can create a new energy source. But, like... shit starts going weird up there.
Yeah, because it's space.
Well, yeah, and plus you're fucking with the atoms and molecules and trying to create new energy.
Well, that kind of collider. I was
thinking like the Hadron Collider kind of thing.
I was thinking, like, for some reason, I was thinking, like, just a thing that smashes things together.
Kind of, but atoms.
Like, but on a giant level, on a molecular level.
So they get sent up to space, and when they turn the machine on, like, shit starts happening. I mean, I don't know where else to go from there.
Okay. I already know more about the movie than I did at all.
It was interesting. Much like Cloverfield Lane, it didn't have to be called Cloverfield, but it was.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Cloverfield Lane,
10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah. Then you don't know what I'm talking about.
If you haven't seen either of them. Then you can't compare anything to anything.
Right. Well, because the first one was a monster movie, like a found footage monster movie. The second one took place in, like, a bunker when shit's going down.
So the first one...
this one is in space.
So the first one... going down, kind of. The first one is, like, a giant city-wide, like, escaping, and the rest of them are all, like, in closed quarters.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's got creepy shit, and, you know, weird stuff starts happening, and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it. I gave it a 7.
It's on my list to watch, and
it's one of those that
forgot.
I feel like would have been cooler in the theater.
Yeah.
But also the fact that it was straight to Netflix. I don't know. Movies and shows that are straight to Netflix, nothing blows me away.
No.
Like, it's decent. It was worth watching.
Yeah.
But that's as far as it goes. So this definitely feels like that. So I guess if I saw it in the theater, I'd feel a little gypped because it's not like that in depth of a movie.
Yeah.
But I feel like seeing, I don't know, on the big screen, maybe you'd feel more secluded kind of thing because you're in space. But yeah, I gave it a 7.
Okay.
I thought it was good, but also I'm a big Cloverfield fan, so.
Yeah. Now, the first movie I watched off my list this month. And the first and only one I watched off my list was Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
Whatever happened to Predictability?
Whatever happened to the little Baby Jane dancing on stage with the little ice cream?
Oh, that was perfect.
It was pretty great. This movie did something that I... Okay,
Yeah, all these movies felt like so long ago.
This was the one thing that
this is movie, the shortest month of the year.
I know. But this movie did something that I love when they do in movies. But what they did was so basically the movie is there's these two sisters. One's talented, one's not talented.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Well, at the very beginning.
One is, yeah.
Well, so Baby Jane, she they have a whole fucking theater or like a stage that's like a Baby Jane theater, and then basically she just does these shows.
It's a little child,
like probably 8 or so, like a little
Shirley Temple.
Yep, that's what I would say, Curly Sue, but Shirley Temple makes more sense. And she does these things, these little songs, like sending a letter to daddy in heaven and stuff. And then she does these little dances and sings. And it creeps me out because there's all these like 8-year-old boys in the audience, like, ah! And they're selling these dolls, like life size dolls. And they're like, Jesus Christ, these kids are going to hit puberty and fucking just dry hump these dolls. And
but so, they're children!
And it'll creep me out so much because like they have these life size dolls. But anyways, Baby Jane's like super popular, and her younger sister, her other sister's like, okay, well, I'm just kind of back here behind the scenes and just there. And
like the parents love the famous kid.
Yeah, the more talented one. And then even the reason I said ice cream because she's like before they're like, all right, let's go to. She's like, I want ice cream.
Okay, so that scene, I didn't know if they were doing a bit or if that was real. Because you know how they're like, oh, no, get the dolls, da, 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 and it was like a bit.
Yeah.
And then they started doing the ice cream. I'm like, is this a part of the bit?
No.
Or is it not?
It's her just being like, I want this now because I'm the daughter. And then the other sister's like,
because I'm the daughter.
I don't know if I want ice cream. Like, you made her look dumb. Anyways. So there's this animosity between Baby Jane and, what's Joan Crawford's character's name? Bridget? No, that doesn't sound
right. I forgot a lot of the names.
Yeah, well, Baby Jane and her other sister, and then it kind of goes, and then it shows, like, a couple years later, when they're, like, probably in their 20s.
I got it.
And,
it's Baby Jane and... Oh, thanks for saying Davis.
Betty Davis.
Blanche.
Oh, yeah. Golden Girls. Think of Golden Girls. Okay.
It's like Davis's character.
But yeah.
She's like, no.
Betty Davis plays Baby Jane, and then Joan Crawford plays Blanche. And it's years later when they're like 20s-ish. And Blanche now is the good actress.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes into her like her.
Much like the Culkins.
Yes. But then she like writes into a script saying,
Olsen's.
For every movie that I make, you have to have my sister in this other movie. And they're like, Jesus Christ, she's a shitty actress.
Yeah, because she's still a child.
Yeah, because she's still like, oh, she's full of herself. And Blanche is like, I'm actually trying hard. But then once it gets to a part where like they're at a Hollywood party and they're driving home. And one of the sisters asks the other sister to unlock the gate to let the car in. Mm-hmm. And then the car rams the gate. You hear screaming. You see a doll on the floor broken with his face. And you just hear screaming. You don't know who did what or whatever. And then the title pops up. You're like, we watched this for 15 minutes and you just show us the title now. I fucking love that. When like, hey, here's some backstory. Here's more backstory. Shit goes down. Welcome to the movie, motherfucker.
Right, because old movies like this used to start with the full credits.
Yeah, all the credits right away, and then at the end it's like, the end, Paramount, boom, the end.
Where this one didn't do that.
But then it shows them as like older women, where Blanche is in a wheelchair, and Baby Jane is like walking around just giving her shit, because she has to take care of Blanche, who's in a wheelchair. And then they just start like having this... crazy because Blanche is like, we're running out of money because we're not working anymore, and we need to sell the house. And she's like, no.
Your sister's an alcoholic.
Yeah, she's an alcoholic. Like, I don't want to sell the house. This is my house. Dad bought this house for me. And she's like, yeah, with my money. And then they just like started like going into this psychological warfare with each other, and shit gets
crazy.
Like, and not like over the edge crazy, but like uncomfortable. Going, these people need to be fucking locked up. But about halfway through the movie, I was kind of like, okay, this is dragging on a little bit. But like by the end, I was so intrigued, and it like the ending creeped me out a lot.
Yeah,
more than it should have.
The ending was really creepy.
But I don't want to give too much away, but like, because I already gave like the first half an hour away. But it's it was a pretty good movie. I wouldn't have watched it. I might have watched it eventually, but it gave me more reason to watch it more currently. But I gave it a 7.
I also gave it a 7.
Look at that. That's the only movie on my list this month.
Okay, so the next movie I watched was on my list.
There you go.
And it's a movie called Spiders.
Jesus Christ.
Spiders 3D.
This month is... I swore you saw that like in January.
I know, right? That's what I said.
Okay.
So this was a 3D movie I bought on Black Friday for like $5. And I was like, eh, it's a movie about giant spiders.
What could go wrong?
It's probably worth $5 since it's 3D. Okay, so the premise of this movie, I really wish I wrote concise notes because this movie's ridiculous. So there is an asteroid that busts through a space station in outer space.
Okay.
And then crashes into New York, into the subway line. And
the asteroid or the space station?
The asteroid went through it.
Okay.
Because some of the stuff that was in the space station was stuck on the asteroid.
Oh, okay.
Spoilers.
What was it?
So this asteroid busts through the blacktop and crashes into the underground rail system, where we meet the main character who works for transport, or like the New York transportation.
He works for transport.
Well, the New York transportation system. He's like in charge of making sure all the lines are open, and he's like, oh crap, we gotta close this line down, but rush hour is coming soon, we're gonna have to get it open by then. So they bring all these investigators and see what the heck happened, and one of the guys, he's like going through like trying to find stuff, and he's like, oh yeah, it broke through here. Oh, and then he's like walking, and then he just falls and hits the third rail.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So then he dies, and he's like, what the hell? He's a good worker. Why would he touch the third rail? And in case you don't know, that's how you get electrocuted.
Yeah. So you can touch all the other rails, just not the third.
So what happens is a spider bit him.
Oh.
And because of that, he fell and died. So during the autopsy, they're like cutting him open, and there's a whole bunch of giant spider eggs inside him.
Makes sense.
So like, oh crap, we need to quarantine that area. So they quarantine the area where the queen spider is,
mm-hmm.
and all the other spiders are, you know, fucking her and making eggs and all this stuff.
I don't think that's all. I don't know. I actually have no idea how spiders work.
So for some reason, like, because if you kill the queen spider, all the drones, like, are like, we're fucked, and they all die. I don't know. That's logic. But anyway, so the spiders are probably, at the start of the movie, they're about the size of a tarantula.
Okay.
So they're pretty big.
But I saw that trailer.
But, so they quarantine this area off, and inside of it, the spiders are doing their stuff. And they're slowly getting bigger and bigger. So the spiders keep getting bigger and bigger. And by the end of the movie, they're bigger than cars.
Okay.
And all this. And I don't fully understand why, but it wasn't that great of a movie. It was one of those that was so bad that it was getting good.
Uh-huh.
Because how bad it was. Because the special effects were pretty amazing for how shitty the movie was.
Yeah.
Yeah, the main actors, or the main characters, one guy's in charge of transport, and then his ex-wife is a crime scene investigator. So it's like...
So
they're, like, the main characters in the movie. It's... I wish I would have wrote more notes down, but it's ridiculous.
I mean... How's the 3D, though?
Oh, the 3D? I was actually blown away at the beginning, because when the meteor and all that stuff happened, that looked pretty awesome. I was like, oh, this is going to be a good movie. And then, holy shit. The transport guy. I was just like, his delivery of lines was so bad. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so this is what we're doing. And half the shit they were doing in the movie made sense, and the other half made absolutely no sense. Like, they quarantined that guy's apartment.
Oh, okay.
Why? I don't know. His kids were inside, and they were freaking out. But they had nothing to do with what was going on underneath. I don't know. It was bad, but it was entertainingly bad. I gave it a 5.5.
All right.
So it was better than bad. It's worse than good.
Okay, the next movie I watched was a Criterion movie a while back when I bought a bunch of Criterion Collection movies because they're on sale. And I picked this one because I know the speech from the very end of the movie very well.
Oh, Independence Day?
Yep. but I was like, I'm going to check it out. So I bought The Great Dictator with Charlie Chaplin. Do you know what the movie is?
Yeah, he's Hitler.
He is. Well, next movie. It's The Great Dictator. There's a few things that made me laugh about this movie was they did like, well, anyways, not Adolf Hitler. What's his name? Charlie Chaplin's character. He's in the war, but he's obviously on the Allies side of the war. But they made up country names and like they made up they didn't basically say this is Hitler. The character's name was Hinkler, so they couldn't get mad at someone. It's like, oh, it's Hinkler, and he wasn't like the president or dictator of Germany. It was like some other made up country name. They made up all these other country names that were like, you know, the Axis and stuff like that. But Charlie Chaplin's character, he is fighting the war, and he's just doing all sorts of wacky things. He's not very good at being a soldier. But at one point, when there's a whole bunch of gas, like mustard gas or some sort of like gas, whatever, he ends up like just wandering into enemy territories. It's like, oh, I'm not supposed to be on this side. But then he jumps in this airplane of this bad guy who was his other side, the Nazi side. I don't know.
Axis and Allies?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, the it wasn't the SS. It was, like, something else. It was, like, lightning bolts on his shoulders or something. I don't remember. But anyways, he gets in this airplane and he ends up, like saving this pilot's life. But then he ends up crashing the plane.
Oh, it's two X's.
Two X's, that's what it is. But he ends up crashing the plane, and then he goes into a coma, and he wakes up. This is like during World War One. He wakes up during World War Two, so like he misses all the stuff in the middle. So it's like, oh, we're still at war. What is happening? Who are all these like these soldiers, and why are they being so mean to Jewish people? And who's this Hinkler guy? But Hinkler and the main character are played by are both played by Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, Jesus.
But I'm like, so they're like, oh, look at him. He's a Jew. I'm like, he looks just like Hinkler. How do you like how do they know whatever? But then I was watching this movie and I must have
Jewish barber.
Yeah, he's a Jewish barber. That's right.
Like on the cast, Charlie Chaplin, a Jewish barber. That's all they list. They don't even list Hinkler.
Yeah, he's a Jewish barber. Because then he comes back to his place the first time and he's like
Polioli.
And he's like, whoa, why is there like Jew written out of my window? Well, I'll clean it off. And then as soon as he cleans it off, another person comes by and like starts like painting on it. He's like, why is my barbershop, why is it covered in dust? He's like, what the hell's happening? Because he doesn't realize he's been gone for that long.
Mm-hmm.
He just wakes up and he's like, all right, time to go. But then something happens. I can't remember exactly what happens. But, the pilot from the enemy side recognizes him. Like, this guy saved my life. So, like, he's like, hey, stay. Like, telling all the Nazis, like, don't hurt this guy. He's a good guy. He saved my life. Don't mess with him and his friends. But at one point, like, near the end of the movie, there's like, a little switcheroo thing where the barber, people think he's Hinkler. And then he has to give this, like, giant speech at the end. And then the speech is basically just like him going, like saying, like, you know, human beings aren't like that. We don't want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. And like this whole thing about how you know, we think too much and feel too little, and like this huge, this awesome like speech. And it's like it's an awesome fucking speech in general, but it's kind of like basically saying, hey, human beings are important. We shouldn't worry about like knocking them down and stuff like that, and being soldiers of war and stuff like that. And the movie, but when they're speaking in German, they're like just saying like just gibberish, just straight up German gibberish, like Iski blocken fluken duki slaki, and it was like. I was like, why are there no subtitles? I'm like, and I started listening more. I'm like, they're just saying random words because they're even saying like American words just randomly and stuff like that. And it was kind of entertaining, but him and his Hinkler had some funny moments because like he was always busy. So like he'd like wander off and he's like, all right, time to sit down. And he sits down and these artists are like, all right, time to paint the picture. And they just do a few brush strokes. And then someone comes in like, hey, we need you. And then so the artists are like, oh, God damn it. We have to sit back down and just waiting for him to come back to continue working on the statue and stuff. And had a few funny moments here and there. But overall, it was all right. I was hoping this was going to be better. I gave it a 6.
So the next movie I watched was a movie called Solar Babies.
Jesus Christ.
I wish, like I said, I wish I would have took more notes because these feel like so long ago.
Yeah.
This movie was from the 80s, and it's about a post-apocalyptic future where all of the Earth's water is controlled by this one guy. He has like a dam and has all the water, and everyone's living in a desert, and these kids are like basically slaves of sorts, but they go around playing fun games. it's Orphans. I forget what the game is. They made up a game it's kind of like lacrosse but they're on roller skates and they're roller skating around. And they got like lacrosse sticks, but they shoot the ball into these hoops. It's like, it's weird. They spent a lot of time playing this game in the movie.
Okay.
It's their version of Quidditch.
Okay.
The whole movie revolved around that.
It's the Orphan version of Quidditch.
So, one of the kids, oh my gosh, what was it? He's deaf.
Oh, I think you say he's dead.
He's deaf. He can't hear anything. But this meteor thing crashes. There's like two of them in a row.
Jesus, watch all these meteor movies.
And it's this little blue glowing orb that the kid finds. And when he picks it up, now he can hear. It's like a magical orb.
Fixes everything.
But, and I had to look it up because I kept wanting to say BMO, but that's not his name. The ball's name is Bodai.
Bodai!
Bodai is here to help us! And they have this little ball and it can do anything
like Gumby,
like Trumpy.
Oh,
and he makes it rain indoors and do all this stuff. It's like, hey, we are gonna be fine,
rain outdoors, it fixes the problem,
right? I don't know why they're all like, yay, because they haven't seen rain in a god knows how long, and all of a sudden it just starts raining inside, and they're like, this is fun. They're not freaked out at all, which if you've never seen rain before, you'd be like, what is happening?
If you rarely see water as it is.
Right. They don't get rain. That's why everything's a desert. Because it hasn't rained in millions of years or something. I don't know. But it gets crazy because then this evil guy tries to kidnap Bodai. And it's Nathan Petrelli from Heroes. He's a young kid. It's so weird. He's a child, but he looks like an adult. You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know why it took me too long to... So
I don't know his real... Let's see. Adrian Pazdar.
Yeah.
It's his name. But it was just so funny because he's got a hawk friend. Because he can talk to birds, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. But the movie is ridiculous. I wish I would have taken notes because I'm forgetting a lot of what happened in this movie. And there was so many good moments. So I'm sorry, listeners. I'm going to be disappointing. It was bad, but, I mean, as a bad 80s sci-fi movie, I gave it a 5.
Oh, wow, Kat says.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
The next movie I watched, I thought was on my list. Well, it is, but I didn't realize they remade it in America. So I watched the remake and not the original. So I still have to watch the remake, the original version.
So you kind of watched
it. So I kind of watched it, but according to IMDb, IMDb gave this version a 4.0. But since I hadn't seen the original, I thought it was pretty good. But the original version, they gave like a 7.2 or whatever. And the movie's called Martyrs, which I heard it's gross and stuff. Anyways, like you said, the concept of the movie sounded really cool, so I'm excited to watch the original version because it sounds like they do a better version of course they do a better version because it's the original version, Scott. Shut up. What happens is right away they show this girl escaping from this warehouse, and she runs to the police and was like, I just ran away from these people that were torturing me. And like, oh, okay. Well, we'll send the police to that warehouse, and they get there, and nothing is there. So then she goes into this home for girls, like this sort of foster home type place.
Yeah, orphanarium.
Like an orphanarium, you know. And she becomes friends with this other little girl eventually because she's like, you know, telling her, like, these bad people kidnapped me and did bad things to me. And she's like, do you believe me? And her friend's like, I believe you. But then they were talking. Then that friend talks to the police and is like, the police are like, do you believe her? And she goes, I don't know. Cut to years later, like 10 years later, and you see this family just like working out their day, like working on stuff, and they're inside like talking to each other and stuff. And like, oh, this. And then they see a girl like at the table. Like, I'm like, oh, this is, you know, one of the girls that all grew up now, right? Doorbell rings. The dad opens the door and immediately gets killed by someone with a shotgun. I'm like, holy shit. The person busts in, shoots the mother, and then she looks right at the son at the table saying, did you know? Do you know what they did? And he just kind of like is like sort of crying, and then she just shoots that kid and goes upstairs and kills the girl. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened? So then she calls her friend and is like, I got them. I found them. These are the people that tortured me. And she's like, we talked about this. We were gonna figure this out. You don't know that these are the people. She's like, I can smell them. I smelled that for years. I know it's them. And she's like, oh shit, my friend just murdered this family. I don't know if it's true or not. And then she's also seeing like this like being out of the corner of her eye that's like haunting her, like, and making her like. And so it's like, and then like she sees this like this ghost thing coming after her, and starts attacking her and stuff, and like, holy shit, this creature thing is attacking her. And then her friend walks in the room and just sees the girl beating her own head against the table and stuff, and going, oh fuck, this girl's insane. She murdered these people, and like you're like, so you're led to believe that this girl's just fucking lost her mind. But then, as the friend is looking around the house, she finds something. Like a hidden door, and then a lot more of the plot starts developing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's one of those movies that where is it isn't like, hey, these people are trying to figure out where this person is, so they go on an adventure. Mm-hmm. It's like, here's this part of the story, now here's this part of the story, now here's this part, here, and then by the end you're like, this is what the movie's about. And I can't tell you all that because then it kind of
spoils it.
It because I heard about this movie like being like really creepy because there's a lot of, apparently the original version has a lot of really horrifying torture scenes.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And I'm like, this isn't that bad, but there's one part where someone like is slicing open her back and peeling her back away from her body.
Mm.
That one made me cringe a little.
That happened in this version?
Yeah.
You said there wasn't that many scenes in this one that were bad.
Yeah. That's why
pretty graphic.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, oh shit, the original is going to be horrible. Plus, the original has nudity in it, too. And I'm like, this one didn't. So I'm like, I don't even want to know really what could happen.
Cut off boobs.
I don't know. Could happen. But like I said, I was entertained by this. I liked the idea was cool and it was something I never saw before. But like I said, this isn't the original. So I just did it based on this one. And I thought it was good. So I gave it a 7. I feel like I was going to say something else. But, oh, no, I was listening to a podcast, and they recommended this movie. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And for years, I didn't see it. And then finally, like, was like, I'm going to watch this movie this year. And then in this year, I heard someone on the podcast, yeah, I watched this movie where, like, this happens in the end. I can't remember. It was, like, something like Martyrs. So I'm like, God damn it, I'm going to watch this movie soon. And I just heard the ending of it. I'm like, I know nothing about this movie other than there's, like, torture in it. But, yeah, I gave it a 7.
So the next movie I watched, since I watched that Spider movie,
Spider-Man,
I watched Mimic.
Oh yeah, Guillermo del Toro,
who is our winner this year.
Winner, chicken dinner.
This movie. Okay, so there is, what was it?
Roaches.
There's a cockroach problem, and little kids are getting sick from these diseases these cockroaches are carrying, and. Lots and lots of children are dying.
Fuck children.
So they create a bug to take care of these cockroaches, and they breed. They call it the Judas breed. It's part mantis, part termite, and it kills cockroaches. But
well, that makes
they
sense.
Aren't like they create these bugs that can't reproduce. So like. After one cycle, they'll all die. So, like, kill a bunch of the cockroaches, and then those insects will die. And then the problem's solved. So then it goes, I want to say, I should have wrote, I don't know how many, like, 10 years later, 20 years later?
I feel like that's way too long.
Yeah. It's probably, like, 10 years later.
Maybe.
Then they're all like, oh, yeah. And
they're all like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It worked.
Problem solved. Then there's no problems.
The end.
And they come across...
3 years.
3 years. Close to 20.
It's like...
3 years later...
So different.
They find, like a shell. Like... Cause,
yeah,
like
an exoskeleton.
An exoskeleton of this creature... And they're like, I don't know what it is. We'll give it to this bug scientist lady.
Bug doctor.
Bug scientist lady. And she's like, where did you find this? And they're like, oh, well, yeah, we'll show you where we found it. And she's like, we're looking for... And she has, like, a picture of, like, the cocoon that they would have all kinds of eggs inside. And they're like, this is impossible. This thing's shown to be here. They can't reproduce or whatever. And somehow... They're able to change sexes or produce, like, asexually.
Like Jurassic Park.
Yeah. And throughout the movie, there's, like, this creepy guy watching them. And then toward the end of the movie, you realize it's not a guy. It's the bug pretending to be human to try to take out the humans. And it's crazy. And, yeah, the guy who is who was the human bug guy.
Josh Brolin.
Is the same guy who... Is fucking Shape of Water.
Oh, Doug Jones?
Yeah, Doug Jones is the guy. I forget what his character's name is. It's like...
Yeah, it's like Jack or... No.
It's like John something.
John... Long John.
Oh, Long John. Yeah. Doug Jones. Plays, yeah, Long John too, because the first one is just the...
Oh, Long John.
Just the corpse. It was decent. It was an interesting movie.
I watched it
a long time ago.
I probably watched it about... 20 years ago.
But I got the trilogy because I didn't realize they made 3 movies.
Yeah.
So I'll watch the other 2 later. I was hoping to watch it this month, but I got distracted and didn't watch any more than 1. But I gave the first one a 7.
Oh.
Because it's Guillermo del Toro. Yeah. It's like... Yeah, what did I write? I wrote...
Guillermo
del... All I wrote was Judas Breed.
Judas Priest.
Judas right. Breed.
Now, because I watched The Nice Guys in January, I was like... You know what? He did a few other movies. I'm going to watch this Kiss Kiss Bang Bang that everyone talks about
bang,
so much
bang.
That was people like a lot.
Well, that was like...
Robert Downey Jr.'s...
Yeah, comeback role.
Yeah.
This was after all of his drug problems.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy, there's so many details to this movie. But there's this guy who is a small...
Gumshoe.
Small-time thief. Who, like, will just, like, steal random shit from people, but who ends up becoming a potential actor because he was in the right place at the right time after being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And then he falls in love with this girl that who's going to be an actress, who's trying to be an actress as well. And he falls in love with her. And but as he's getting ready to shadow for a part, because he wants a, the part that they wanted to be is like a detective. So they have him shadow Val Kilmer's character because he got hired to go to this place and just like kind of spy on what's going on. But a murder happens and they go, oh shit, we got to try to figure out this murder, because then it realizes it's tied to all these other situations. And it's a it's Robert Downey Jr. Val Kilmer is like as one of my favorite Val Kilmer roles. And then oh god, what was the woman who was in that movie? She was in some stuff. She was in some stuff. But it was a it definitely felt like a precursor to the Nice Guys.
Michelle Monaghan.
Yeah, her. Michelle Monaghan. It felt like, definitely felt like a precursor to, because she was the, oh, that's, I was saying Gone Girl, that's Gone Baby Gone, never mind. Anyways, fuck it, pretend I'm not talking.
No, because you're explaining the movie I did.
She was in some stuff. But the, I think I like Nice Guys better because it had a more cohesive, like, crazy plot that kind of got wrapped up in stuff. This one kind of felt like they're doing, the movie ended and I was kind of like, so what happened? But it was acted well. It had some fun moments and, it was a good time. I gave it a 7, right?
Sure.
I got to pull it back up. Yep, I gave it a 7.
So the next movie I watched, Scott also saw it with me.
What is it?
And it was Black Panther.
Oh, shit. I didn't write that down.
Uh-oh.
Oh, fuck.
I forgot. Did you write the other movies we saw in the theater?
Two others?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
So Black Panther.
Oh, shit. I forget that.
If you're a frequent listener to this podcast, you will realize that I'm getting sick of Marvel's stuff.
Bullshit. Marvel's bullshit.
How it's constantly the same format. Because it works, so they just keep repeating it.
Instead of, if it should work. If it matters.
So, yeah, because recently we watched the
Thor Ragnarok.
Thor Ragnarok, Guardians 2, Homecoming. But this one was better than all those.
Yeah.
Black Panther takes place, what, a week or two?
I think it was like 2 weeks.
2 weeks after Civil War. Because in Civil War, T'Chaka, his dad gets killed in Civil War.
Well, his dad is T'Chaka, and it's T'Challa is
the Yeah, that's I said T'Challa's dad, and he said T'Chaka.
Yeah.
I thought you were correcting me.
No, the dad's name is T'Chaka. Sorry.
Okay. So he's like, okay, I got to be the ruler of Wakanda. So then you find out about the country of Wakanda, because up until this point, I knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
They're the main source of vibranium, which is what Captain America's shield is made of, and basically all of the technology from Black Panther.
And also, in Age of Ultron, that's the metal he used for his final body.
Oh, okay.
Was the vibranium. But yes.
Yeah. So, the movie starts with him basically going through the rituals to become the king of Wakanda. And while that's going on, Killmonger is like stealing shit from the museum that's made of vibranium, and he wants to become the ruler of Wakanda.
Yeah.
I don't want to get any more than that away.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much the plot. The reason I liked it is because if you haven't seen any Marvel movies, you could watch this movie. Like, all the characters are introduced. They do a little story at the beginning to, like, get you up to speed of what Wakanda is.
Yeah.
So that's your, like, backstory. And then it jumps in, and then you learn about the different tribes. and what their resources are and all that stuff. And then you find out about the side characters and their plot and everything. And then it ends, and it doesn't, like, oh, you gotta watch the next Marvel movie to know what's going on. They don't do any of that shit.
Can't. And, but the thing that... Oh, jeez. The thing is that I liked about it was in...
It's, like, cracking.
In Marvel movies, like, they try to put jokes in.
Yeah.
And they only...
They don't seem to fit.
They only did a few moments in this movie, but it was, like...
Brother-sister
type stuff. Yeah, it was, like, brother-sister, like, just, like, goof around type thing. So it actually fit instead of going, hey, we're doing this. I'm the villain. I'm going to crack a joke. Oh, you villain. So, like, it actually worked. But I enjoyed it. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think it was one of the best ones in a long time.
Yeah.
I can't say Marvel movies because it's Logan.
Yeah.
Even though it's not the Cinematic Universe, but some people don't understand all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, I gave it an 8.
Me too.
I liked it a lot. Yeah, and there's a lot of symbolism in that movie too that I liked a lot about black culture and stuff.
Yeah.
No. So then the next movie I watched was A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a Netflix movie.
You and your Netflix movie.
Me and my Netflix movie.
Do with your movie.
So this movie is the story of the National Lampoon. It follows the two creators of the National Lampoon when they... Oh, shit. Was it Harvard?
I think so.
Because the school magazine that they worked on together, they were working on this magazine and they're graduating from college. And he's like, what if we do this for a living? He's like, what? No one's going to buy a magazine like that. So then he convinces the other guy to join him and create a magazine. So they go to different magazine companies to try to solicit their magazine. They're like, no, we don't want to take a risk on you. We don't, you know. And then finally get to the bottom of the barrel and they get a magazine. And it doesn't do great right off the bat, but then they start getting more racy with the magazine and it gets more popular. And the magazine starts selling really well. Will Forte plays the main character. And then...
Doug Kenny. He plays Doug Kenny.
Yeah, he plays Doug Kenny, who is one of the co-creators of the National Lampoon. But he's doing it because he thinks it's going to be fun and all this stuff. And he... Yeah, it follows his life pretty much. And then after they're doing the magazine for a while, they create their first movie, which is Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Animal House. They do Animal House and then eventually Caddyshack. But it was based off the book of the same title, and I knew nothing about National Lampoon or any of that. I knew a lot of the characters they were portraying, because you had like Chevy Chase and John Belushi and all these people played by other people, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting. I got really confused because the one guy, Doug Kenny... I forget the guy's name, but he's like playing an older version of Doug Kenny. And he's like, this is my story, blah, blah, blah. I didn't realize that was an acting bit. I thought he was the guy. He thought he was Doug Kenny.
Yeah.
So when I got to the end of the movie, I'm like, wait, what the fuck's going on? But it was interesting. It had its moments. I don't know how accurate it is. I'm guessing it's pretty accurate. Because it's based on the book, which I'm guessing was factual. I gave it a 6. I thought a bunch of the actors did a great job trying to be the other actors.
Yeah.
Joel McHale was Chevy Chase, but he just seemed like Joel McHale.
Yeah.
I gave it a 6. I thought it was worth watching, and I found it informative because I didn't know any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think, to me, that was more interesting than the actual... style and everything.
Yeah.
It wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be, but I like Will Forte a lot, so I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. He'll make it someday.
He'll make it someday.
Speaking
aside
of
from Claudio Chance Meatballs.
Speaking of making it someday, I saw this movie by this director. His name is Quentin Tarantino.
Tarantino.
I think that guy's going to make it someday, too.
Not anymore.
Oh, no? No.
After the car accident.
What?
With the Uma Thurman.
I guess I don't know the news.
Oh, no, this is during Kill Bill.
Oh.
He forced Uma Thurman to drive the car at night when she didn't feel comfortable.
Ugh.
And then she got into a car accident, and then it fucked up her spine.
Oh.
And all this is coming to light now because of the whole Me Too movement, even though it's not the same thing. But,
yeah.
Yeah, they have audio recordings of him telling her to do it anyway, and she didn't feel comfortable. And now, since then, her acting career went down path because she had spine surgery and all this shit, so she can't act as well.
Well.
So that kind of, I think, is putting, I wouldn't say a kibosh, but pretty close to it on Quentin Tarantino.
All right. Well, I saw one of his movies.
Sorry. Side note.
A movie called The Hateful Eight.
No, yeah.
It's a long movie.
Yeah, so are most of his movies.
It, let me just, I'll explain the movie to you, and then it can kind of, I'll give a brief synopsis, and then I'll explain the movie. You saw Reservoir Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine Reservoir Dogs in the West.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this movie felt like to me. What happens is, there's a, Russell Crowe, not Russell Crowe.
One of the characters back.
Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell, his character is his bounty hunter, and he comes across Samuel L. Jackson, who's also a bounty hunter. And, but Russell, Kurt Russell is bringing, oh no, what's her name? Jennifer Jason Leigh, her character. She's worth like $10,000, and he's like, "Well, I'm gonna bring her in," and he's like, "I don't want you fucking with me." He's like, "Dude, I got my own. I got all these bodies over here; they're dead. I load them on the wagon, and you know, the snowstorm's coming, and I don't want to get stuck in it." So, but then, as they're going to this town, they keep running into more and more people. They're like, "I'm the sheriff of this town. I'm this," and like, and they're all like these different people. And once they get to this this little town. Into this like sort of general store rest area, the snow's coming really bad, and they're like kind of trapped in this local in this little area. But then, as they're like talking to people, they realize someone in the group is not who they seem.
Oh shit!
And
he's an undercover cop.
The opposite kind of.
I was gonna say these are all sheriffs. So like, one's a sheriff, like, undercover cop sheriff,
bounty hunter, this and this. But like someone is doing stuff like someone poisoned the coffee,
pretending to be a marshal.
Yeah. So like they don't know. You're like kind of figuring out, like what's going on. But when people get shot, man, it's like you know how when Kill Bill is happening.
Yeah.
And people are getting like it's like. Someone put a stick of dynamite in a blood packet, and like they get shot, and there's like just push.
That seems to be his thing. Like he just gets more and more bloody as his movies go.
Now this movie is almost 3 hours long. It didn't feel that way, but also it didn't feel like a lot happened at all. I'd have to look into the math of it all, but I'm still confused as why it's called The Hateful Eight. Because no matter
there's more or less than eight the whole movie.
Because like there's much more than eight people, but also like if I think of all the bad guys that are mentioned and brought up and in the movie, it feels like less than eight. So I don't know. I'd have to look up into that. But it was all right. Samuel L. Jackson was the best part of the movie, which is sad because it has some really great actors in it.
Yeah, I was going to say Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges isn't in it.
Not Bridges.
Kurt Russell?
Yeah, Kurt Russell.
Well, Kurt Russell's in it. The villain from Justified, who's going to be the new Tomb Raider movie, and he was the lawyer on Community. And
what the
like,
fuck am I thinking of?
Jeff
Bridges?
Kurt Russell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, keep talking.
And then I can't even remember who was all in it. A bunch of people. But yeah, it wasn't bad. I was hoping for more, I guess. I gave it a 6.5. So yeah, I gave it a 6.5. All the other movies I saw, you saw too.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, let's dive in.
The next one was Annihilation.
Oh, no. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
I didn't write that one down either. Oh, shit.
No. Annihilation, I don't remember what movie we watched but months ago. We're like, this movie looks... We saw a trailer from Annihilation. I'm like, I don't know what's happening, but this looks cool.
It was Blade Runner.
Okay, yeah, before Blade Runner. Boy, oh boy. It's one of those movies...
At the beginning of the movie, a meteor...
Yeah.
Jesus Christ! This is like the third one.
You watch too many meteor movies.
Right. And there's not enough meat.
Technically, it's the fourth because Dumo with the babies.
Yeah, that's what I... That was...
Spiders? Cloverfield? Solar babies?
Cloverfield had nothing to do with meteors.
Uh-oh.
It was solar babies I was talking about. Okay,
never mind then.
But then I guess you could say Black Panther.
I guess, yeah.
Because that's how the vibranium gets to Earth in Black Panther.
Yeah.
What was I looking? Annihilation. Annihilation.
A meteor comes to Earth, and it crashes
through a lighthouse
into this lighthouse, and then it starts. I don't know
how to explain it.
Yeah, without giving anything away.
So they're like around where the meteor hits, like
there's a thing called the shimmer.
They call it the shimmer. So it's an area like. And the lighthouse is the center, and then going outward is what is a shimmer. It looks like when you're looking through a bubble or a rainbow kind of effect.
But it's also like dripping upwards.
Right. Yeah. So it looks really weird. So there's definitely a border between what's normal and then what's in the shimmer.
Yeah.
So they send in like Marines and... Not Marines, but like Army soldiers.
Yeah, Army soldiers.
Army soldiers. Just in, to see. To try to find the source of the shimmer.
Yeah.
But troops go in, and then they don't come out.
But the shimmer is growing at the same time. Slowly. Right, slowly.
Very slowly. And
Jennifer Jason Leigh, another one.
Yeah, so this movie follows Natalie Portman... And a group of other people, was there like four of them? Four or five?
There's five total.
Five total. They're going in, and they're like, we got to get, you know, at least if we can't get to the center, we got to figure out what happened to the other people that came in here.
Yeah.
And as they get deeper into the shimmer, the more fucked up things are.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of cool things.
It's hard to explain what it looks like. But it looks amazing.
Yeah. As the characters are figuring things out, I don't want to give that information away.
Right.
And also, like, any sort of reveals that happen. I'm like, but it's not an action movie. It's a very
sci-fi.
It's a slow exploration movie, but it was really good.
My mind kept thinking that it was, like, the closest to a modern-day 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah. But more cohesive.
Right. But it's just like you're following the journey of this stuff and it looks amazing. But some of you are like, I don't fully understand why this is happening.
And actually, I was talking to Mike last night in the podcast. He watched it and he's like, uh-huh. Yeah, that last 20 minutes, he's like, it reminded me so much of like the last book of the Dark Tower. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What he said was the last 20 minutes of the Annihilation was a better Dark Tower movie than the whole Dark Tower movie.
That is true. Yeah, because if you pretend that the lighthouse is the Dark Tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I also agree.
And yeah, there's a lot of...
The special effects in it are amazing. The sound was amazing. Like, the closest I can think of... is Blade Runner 2029 as far as visual effects and like sound editing and all that stuff. It was definitely a theater experience.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if we watch it on DVD or something, I don't think it'll have the same impact.
Yeah, unless you're watching VR somehow. I don't know if that's possible.
Holy shit, VR would fuck with you.
That would have been a great 3D movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
My only problem that I have, though, that really stuck out to me was when they first walk into the Shimmer.
Mm-hmm.
They added those effects later. Mm-hmm. I feel like the characters should have, like, paused and, like, were looking around as they're entering it. Like,
right, as soon as you're inside and you're like, hey, look at this is weird.
Like, it's like a
giant bubble.
It's like a bubble. But, like, as they're passing through, like, the layer, they just kind of walk in and keep going. And, like, if that was me, I'd be like, all right, here it is.
Yeah, stop at the entrance.
Yeah, like, they didn't do that aspect of it. So I feel that was one small thing that upset me. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, overall, it was a good movie. I gave it a 7.5.
I gave it an 8.
All right.
I thought the visual effects were amazing.
Cat!
Especially at the end.
Sorry, the cat is chewing on cords.
Yeah, and we're trying to record things.
Jesus Christ, cat.
You're being a real dick tonight.
Yeah, why don't you go downstairs and meow some more?
So yeah, I gave it an 8. The next movie we watched was also in the theater.
Yeah.
Was Game Night.
Game Night. Now, this is a comedy action type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jason and I were like, this movie looks silly. Mm-hmm. It's got Jason Bateman in it. Amy Adams are the two main characters. The guy from Super 8 and Friday Night Lights.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. From Bloodline.
Yeah, he looks like the lead singer from Mumford & Sons.
Rachel McAdams, did you say that?
Did I say Amy Adams? I said Amy Adams. I meant Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
Who's and Amy then, Adams?
Amy Adams is the one from Arrival and Superman. She was Lois Lane in Man of Steel.
That's not the same person?
That's Amy Adams.
Oh, shit. I don't know anything.
Rachel McAdams is in The Notebook, of Red Eye.
Never saw any of them.
Anyways, oh, shit.
And then also Winston from New Girl.
Yeah.
He's in it and stuff, and a bunch of other people.
Lamorne.
Todd from Breaking Bad, season 5.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
Character was amazing.
But Jason and I, obviously, we have very weird tastes in comedy. Comedies,
yeah.
So I think the last time I saw a comedy in theaters was Thank You. No, it was probably Jackass 3D.
I was going to say, the last one I saw was probably a Judd Apatow movie, which
I wouldn't have seen.
I wouldn't. Some of those, it's like, they consider them comedies.
Yeah.
They got funny moments, but they're not really, I don't consider them comedies.
But I don't see comedy movies
in the theater.
In the theaters, because we'll laugh at things and no one else will laugh at things.
Yeah.
And it's really awkward. Although Lady Bird, people are on the same page as us.
Yeah. And those are old ladies.
Yeah. But, so this movie, we're hesitant. We're like, fuck it. We have movie pass. We'll see it. The premise of the movie is that Jason Bateman's character,
every week they do a game night.
They do a game night. He meets his wife at a trivia thing at a bar, and they're like, they're very competitive, and they have a game night every week. And then his older brother comes into town, and he's like, hey, we're gonna have a game night, come on over. And he's always like outdoing Jason Bateman's character. He's always outdoing him, like he's the best at everything.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. And he's like, you know what, guys?
He's like, I'm more successful and richer and da, da, da,
and he's more successful in every way. But he's like, come to my place next week. I'll give it at my place. All right, fine. And they go, okay, we'll come to your game night. And he's like, I love it. They're like, we brought some of our favorite games, and he just throws them across the room. We're not playing those. We didn't have to throw them.
Yeah.
But he decides to set up this sort of murder mystery type thing where someone in the room was going to get kidnapped, and everyone else has to go through clues and figure out where the person is. And he's like, and the person that wins gets this the Stingray car that he bought. And it was Jason Bateman's like dream car as a kid. But then actual criminals bust in and kidnap Jason Bateman's brother, and everyone's like, oh, this is fake. This isn't real. So it's kind of that whole, like, everyone thinks it's fake, but it's real, and there's real danger and some stuff. But then, everyone's, like, wants to get that car, so people are, like, cheating at the game and trying all these different things.
But it doesn't matter, because it's real.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, it's real. And then it kind of goes into a whole bunch of other, like, stuff that It's more fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the jokes in that movie fucking, they made me laugh out loud more times than I expected to.
Yeah, and even if you're trying to, like, some of the, you know, most comedies are like, oh, they're setting up this joke.
Yeah.
They would set it up and then go a different way, and it's like, catch you off guard.
Although there were a few times where they did have jokes that they're setting up to go a certain way, and everyone kind of noticed it, and it pissed me off because people behind me were, like, calling out the punchline before it happened. I'm like, yeah. They do this. They know what they're doing because they've been in comedy for a while, and they know comedic timing. You mm-hmm. are just, you're ruining it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not like you go, hey, knock, knock, who's there? Me, who, ha, ha, gotcha. You know, like, you, yeah. don't, you have to, like, there's pacing.
Yeah.
Like, the when he's bribing, that part.
Yeah.
Fucking made me just laugh.
So slow.
So much. You know what? The slower goes.
Yeah, that's right. They're calling it, oh, it's a five.
It's a one. Hey, man. And I just ruined the joke if you haven't seen it, but
that's not a really good joke.
Yeah, no.
It was more of the
yeah, the physical gag.
It was a physical gag. It was funnier.
But yeah, the I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I
gave it an 8.
Really?
Yeah,
I gave it a 7.5. But it was one of the better comedy movies I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the closest thing I can think of is like Horrible Bosses.
This is much better
than Horrible Bosses. But this was much funnier than Horrible Bosses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm saying, like, that's the closest I could think of recently.
Yeah.
And I didn't even see the second Horrible Bosses.
So. I heard it was okay.
Well, it's a sequel that doesn't need to be made.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, it was fun.
And then the last movie was another 3D movie.
Speaking of Jason Bateman.
He's not in that.
No, but two of his family members are...
Oh, because Bateman sounds like Batman. I get it.
No. I say I
so we watched the Lego Batman movie in 3D.
No, it's because I know most Joe. From Arrested Development and Will Arnett and Michael Cera.
Michael Cera. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Lego Batman.
And Zach Galifianakis.
And Zach Galifianakis. And Rosie O'Dawson. There was a lot of
big name people in this movie.
And by big name people, I mean like people, like not because
they had Channing Tatum and they had Jonah Hill and
Jonah Hill, Kate Mucci, yeah, whatever.
There's a lot of comedy. How many villains they had in that movie? Like holy shit, they had way more villains in that movie than I thought they would. And it was like the first time it was like a gag because they're just running through all the names.
Yeah.
And then, like, they come back again. I'm like, oh, God, this isn't just a throwaway joke. They're bringing them all back. But basically, the movie is Batman from the Lego movie. He is successful and rich and all this, but he's very lonesome.
Yeah.
And it shows at the beginning of the movie, he's, like, in the Batcave by himself, and it's, like, echoey hollow just sound.
Just eating lobster.
Yeah, eating lobster, like waiting by the microwave in real time. he's doing this, and Joker is doing all these criminal things, trying to get the attention of Batman, saying, hey, I'm like your best friend, because we're constantly at ends with each other. Da, 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 da. He's like, I don't need people in my life. Yeah. And then... eventually, Robin comes into the story, which Michael Cera as Robin was amazing.
The thing that was really weird about this movie was a lot of the characters, it was like certain actors or actresses playing these characters, but they weren't playing them as the characters would normally be.
Yeah, they played them as version.
So like Jenny Slate as Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine. It wasn't Harley Quinn, but it was like...
Well, even Zach Galifianakis as the Joker.
Yeah.
I was like... It's not the same Joker I'm used to, but
for this,
it's right. We're Lego.
But it worked for this because he wasn't acting like the same type of Joker.
Yeah.
But he wants to be, and Batman is like, no, we don't need to do this.
So Alfred's trying to force him to hang out with Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
And he becomes the Robin, and then, yeah, the Joker. Like, turns himself in with all the villains.
Yeah.
But he's got, like, this huge master plan.
Well,
I don't want to get into all that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is,
it's like a giant team-up.
He turns himself in so that, like, Batman doesn't need to be used anymore. He's like, oh, the crime's all gone. And he's like,
because he's trying to get Batman. Him. Yeah.
But the thing, I was gonna say the thing about this movie. I'm like, it sort of had the Batman, the whole Batman storyline of him like being a loner, and then people trying to go, "Hey, you care about these people." Remind me a lot of Lego Batman 3,
mm-hmm.
the whole like mind control thing. Like, Robin, you're important.
I thought the Video first game. Half of the movie was awesome.
Yeah.
The second half got weird.
Yeah.
And I didn't care for the second half of the movie as much.
Yeah, it got really, like, it kind of...
It got really hokey at the end, too. Like, oh, friendship is important.
It also didn't feel like a full movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't know. It was weird, because it was, like, the first half was the building up of everything.
Yeah.
And then the end was the payoff, which was weird. I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of the end of the movie.
Yeah.
But I liked the first half a lot. And we watched it in 3D.
Yeah.
The 3D was freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I guess it's easy when everything's computer generated to like, oh, we made this 3D model.
Yeah.
Oh, we can put in 3D very easily.
I gave it a 7.
I gave it a 7.5.
All right. Well, that's fine.
Like I said... The 3D aspect, it bumped it up a little bit because it did look really awesome in 3D. Especially when the Batmobile was, like, jumping shit.
Right, let's see if
things were exploding.
Yeah, let's see if I missed anything. Boom, 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 boom. I think those were the movies I saw. I started watching a movie, and I didn't finish it, so obviously I'll do that in March.
Yeah. So the two 3D movies I watched was Spiders at 5.5 and Lego Batman 7.5.
The movie I watched off my list for the horror movies was the Whatever Happened to Baby Jane with a 7.
And then the worst movie I watched this month was Solar Babies with a 5. And then the best movie was a 3-way tie between Black Panther, Annihilation, and Game Night with 8.
All right. The worst movie I watched was a tie between Dave Made a Maze and The Great Dictator at a 6.
That was worse, you mean?
What I say?
I thought you said best.
I might have. Be wrong. We'll see.
We'll see who was paying attention.
The least best was Damien Hayes and Great Dictator with a 6. And the best was the movie I forgot about was the best one, Black Panther with an 8.
The best movie I watched this month. I forgot to write it down.
I can't believe it. I'm like, Jesus. Well, half the movies I saw were in the theater. Man, if only there was like some ticket stubs I could look at. But yeah, that's February. March will happen later. Why am I explaining this? You know this, how it works. And speaking of knowing how things work, you should know by now to email me and at stuffbyscott@gmail.com and say things about, hey, it's me,
Craig. You should see, you should go see this movie.
Oh, my name is Craig.
I was going to think of a really dumb movie that's in the theaters right now.
Hurricane Heist.
Hurricane Heist. You should see.
But, yeah, stuffbyscott@gmail.com, comments, questions, concerns, whatever you have about movies, tell us we're right, tell us we're wrong. Don't slap the microphone like a cat. Other than that, for February,
that's a wrap!
This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.